Welcome to the sermon series of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Pastor Jeff Conley.
So, Becca Lou tried to send us a video. And the only way we could get it was with YouTube ads on the side, and we were afraid what they might be advertising when we showed it. So the report from Egypt is that they are having a tremendous experience, that they are being challenged by the ministries that they are seeing, that they are making friends, and they have been worshiping with the people in Egypt. So we look forward to them returning, continue to pray for each and every one of them as they continue their journey. I don't see Brian back there with a Patriots shirt on today. So Patty left me so she could go watch the game last night with her parents and the whole creepy family, all 15 of them connected on the texting when I was in bed at 8:30. I don't know if somebody wants to come over to my house on Saturday nights. I don't know how to turn off the texting noise without turning off my alarm. So it beeps at me all night long. So anyway, that's where she is. But there you are. Do you have it on? Oh, you don't have it on. I was looking for you over here. So since Patty went up there, I made time to get together with Father Carl, who is one of the priests at St. Norbert. We went out and got a burger, and then we went to a movie. And we went to the movie called Silence. Now, if you are strong of nature and spirit, if you can handle almost a 3-hour movie and some pretty intense brutality to the Christians there, it was an absolute phenomenal movie. It's about a true priest, Portuguese priest who left to go minister to the people in Japan, and word got back, not through him, but through others, that he had renounced his faith. And a couple of his followers, those priests that he had trained, could not believe that he would have done that. And so they get permission to go into Japan. Now, this is in the mid-1600s. Supposedly, the dates that they traveled in were 1640, 1641, somewhere in that time period. It was brutal. But if you can handle that, I encourage you to go, because it makes you ask questions of yourself. What would I do? How would I handle that? In issues of faith and doubt, and putting yourself forward for someone else and giving your life is one thing. But renouncing your faith so that others would live is a very different thing. And so the movie was just absolutely phenomenal, but I really loved various parts and all throughout the movie when the villagers would get together in a dark dirt hole or in a cave or in a small little hidden hut, because the priests had returned, that they could come and they could share in the table, in communion, in the Lord's Supper. And just the beauty of that throughout the movie was amazing. We gather to glorify God is our first core value that we celebrate. We're moving on now to our second core value. And as we do that, I want to give you my own little version of a Rorschach test. We're not going to do ink blots. But I'm going to show you a few pictures, and I'm going to ask you what you see in these pictures. So if we could have the first picture. So what do you see in this picture? So what do you see? Do you see a fish having a really bad day? Or do you see a bird having a really good day? Right? So what do you see here? And some people kind of struggle with this one a little bit. So it's a little tree frog, and that's a mean for a bug or something. So what do you see in this picture? Do you see a frog with, are they paws? What do you call a frog hand? Any biologists out there? Do you see a frog just kind of exercising and hanging out and having a good time? Or do you see a little frog just hanging by a thread? Okay. So you laughed. So you could possibly, a lot of you have seen a squirrel being ultra cash, right? And how often have you seen a squirrel just like this? Or do you see a squirrel who's just kind of sad and lost his energy to run around and scamper? Last picture. It's a beautiful moon. Is that a majestic bird? Probably a seagull in the midst of the moon there? Or is that a bird all by itself, wondering where all the other birds are? Our second core value is everyone known and loved. Everyone known and loved. Now remember, these core values that we are coming to come from the surveys, come from communication with all of you that the session did work with. This core value came out of a desire to be strengthened in this area. But when we took that survey and we had these various core values that came out, where do you think this one, everyone known and loved, stood in our church? As I look at it, you nice people, you friendly people. That was our lowest score. That was our absolutely lowest score on the surveys, was that area about relationships. Feeling known and feeling loved. People desired it, but it was our lowest scoring area. You know, how easy is it for us to look at those pictures and just want to go towards the positive? As how easy it is to look into the face of a person and say hi, and you get a hi back so you know they're okay because they said hi. The core value here that we're moving towards is everyone known and loved. And I've heard a couple of people say, you know, we've gone through a number of studies. We've done studies before. They're okay, they're good, but, you know, they're nice studies, but nothing happens. We want to make something happen, folks, with each and every one of these core values. And we want to make sure that we are moving towards everyone being known and loved. There's something called relational poverty. Listen to that word. Relational poverty. Do you know that in this room there could be people experiencing relational poverty right now? There could be lonely people right now. People that we come in contact with all the time. Numbers of members of our congregation who aren't here right now, who may be lonely and experiencing relational poverty. Patty and I didn't completely get that or understand how that works until the boys were done with club sports. You know, in their younger years, we were just filled with people being around us all the time. And you traveled with these people, and you had meals with these people, and you laughed with these people. We had great relationships with these people. How you doing? How's your nephew doing? You could ask some questions like that, but the depth wasn't really there because as soon as those teams ended, we didn't see those people again. On their side and our side. We went different areas, different places. Relational poverty is something that we very specifically want to target as one of our core values, that people are known and people are loved, and through that, they are changed, can walk in a different way, and glorify God in a more powerful way. Jesus has something to say about this to us this morning. The Gospel of John, chapter 13, beginning with verse 34, Jesus said this, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another." Jesus gives us a new commandment that we love one another. "Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have loved one another." This is a strange thing that Jesus says here. "I give you a new commandment." Because this really isn't a new commandment at all. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we read that God speaks, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind." And in Leviticus 19, it says, "Do not hold a grudge or bear revenge against your neighbor, but love your neighbors as yourself." So this is a bit strange and odd. Jesus, who is God, who is a part of telling us to love our neighbors in those earlier times, is saying, "I'm giving you a new commandment to love one another." So we have to look at that and say, what's different? What is different about this passage here? In the second verse, after he says that this is a new command, we need to know that there's a new object of the love. In the Old Testament, as God was teaching the people of Israel how to walk with God, how to worship God, and how to love one another, the communication was about the tribe, it was about the people, it was about inside. It was about this classroom that he was using, so this classroom then could be doing such a good job that they would be a model to the entire world. Love your neighbor as yourself meant love your Jewish friend, your Jewish neighbor, as you would want to be loved yourself. So the object here is different, because in the second verse, Jesus goes wider and says, who will be blessed as they love one another?
Everyone.
Thank you. Everyone. Everyone. Everyone now is the object of this love. Hear what our world is like. Alexander McLean writes, "When the words were spoken, the then civilized Western world was cleft by great, deep gulfs of separation, like the crevasses in a glacier. Language, religion, national animosities, differences of condition, and saddest of all, difference of sex." And here at the time he meant gender. Difference of gender split the world up into alien fragments. All that division that was there 2,000 years ago, splitting people up into alien fragments. All the division that Alexander McLaren was experiencing in the 1800s when he wrote that and agreed with that. That same separation that he was experiencing at that time. And it's not too hard for us to see those alien fragments in our world today, is it? The object is different. The object is wider. The object is everyone. To love one another means reaching out with love purposefully to everyone. There's a new object, there's a new measure. That measure is Jesus. What did Jesus do for you? For me? Sacrifice. Jesus gave his life for you and me. The measure of that love is sacrifice. Sacrifice. Jim was on the side of the road this morning with a flat tire. I drove right by him. I didn't have time to stop and help him. That would have been a sacrifice. That's sacrificial love. Not just because Jim didn't have a flat tire. I'm just pointing that. I want to make sure that you weren't out there helping him with his car. Sacrificial love. To effort. To stop. There's a new measure to it. But there's a new power. What's the new power? Come on, somebody. What's the new power? Don't make me fall. I got the Holy Spirit in me, right? The power of the Spirit dwelling within us. There's a new object, everyone. There's a new measure, that sacrificial love. But there's a new power in us. That Holy Spirit, as we're called to reach out and love one another, to love everyone. Jesus displayed this in a couple of ways. First, in Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 6. On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And there was a man with a right hand that was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched to see whether he would cure on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. What's going on in this situation? Later on, we know that Jesus heals this man. But what's going on? Where was Jesus when this happened? In the synagogue. In the church. In the gathering of the spiritual people of God. There was even a debate of knowing what this man was going through with a withered hand. How that would have been harming him at the time. But Jesus knew him and loved him and healed him. Even in the inner circle of the family of God, in that worship service, powerful challenge to each one of us. Outside, Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 40. You know this account also. Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him. For they were all waiting for him. Just then there came a man named Jairus, leader of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and he begged him to come to his house. For his only daughter, about 12 years old, was dying. As he went, the crowds pressed in on him, and there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. And though she had spent all she had on physicians, no one could cure her. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his clothes, and immediately the hemorrhages stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And right, his disciples thought he was completely crazy. What do you mean, who touched you? You're in a big, huge crowd. People are bashing all over you. What do you mean, who touched you? But Jesus knew and Jesus loved. And so this woman, who for 12 years would have been ritually unclean and unwelcome in the community, an outsider who had to sneak up on Jesus just to touch the fringe, which a big risk that was. Jesus knew her, and Jesus loved her. What is the command that Jesus gives us to love one another? How does Jesus display this love? By reaching within and reaching without. And so what does that mean to each and every one of us here this day? Called to be, challenged to be, charged to be people
who love one another.
We have a last example in Scripture this morning. Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. Oops, I'm sorry. Chapter 5, beginning with verse 17. One day, while he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting nearby, they had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Just then, you know the story, just then, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a bed. They are trying to bring him in and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they did what? They went up on the roof. And what did they do to that roof? They tore it apart. Why? They tore that roof apart so they could get their friend who they knew and loved to the one who could heal. This is a new command. It's a much wider circle. Jesus has given us the examples of how we might do that within and without. The charge is there because the community of faith has already done it. They tore that roof off because they knew and they loved. As we're about to come forward for laying on of hands, I would ask that each and every one of us here listen. Listen to God. Listen for God to speak. Speak in a way that you can hear. Who is it? Who is that one? Who's that one that God is putting on your heart? Maybe someone within. Maybe someone without. That this doesn't mean, hello, how's your nephew, how are you? But it needs to be in a comfortable enough space that they can be known. And they can be loved. So I invite Jonathan to come forward and some elders to join me up front here, please. As others are coming for any need for themselves or for the world, I invite you to be prayerful, seeking God's face, to whom God is calling you to know and love.